Thank you, David. Let's take our Bibles and open to 1 Peter chapter 1. Children, you may be dismissed for children's church. So in 1 Peter chapter 1. This morning our text will be verses 18 through 21. So we'll begin by reading those verses together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Lord, thank you for the morning that we've had together. Thank you very much for the good challenge that we received in Sunday school regarding prayer and the good lessons there. Thank you for ministering to our hearts in music and our fellowship this morning. We ask that you'd bless our time in your word, Lord. We pray at each and every service and every time we get ready to enter into your word, Lord, not merely out of habit, though we could say it is that, it is part of our routine, Lord, but it's not, Lord, without heart, it's not without understanding and recognizing our dependence upon you. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us this morning. I pray that by your Spirit you would guide us in the study of your truth, help each one of us to give ourselves to attentively heed the message that you have for us today. May you be honored by how we present your word, how we receive it, and then how we respond to it. Please bless our time together now, and may you be glorified through it all, through the remainder of this service, Lord, and throughout the whole of this Lord's day. May you be glorified. May we as your people be edified and refreshed and strengthened spiritually. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at the immediately preceding verses of Scripture in this overall context, there you find that Peter is encouraging believers in light of the great grace that we have received in salvation to live a holy life, to live a sober, hopeful, obedient, prayerful, and all-around holy life of devotion to God. And in the immediately preceding verse, in verse 17, he challenged us to live in the fear of God. So he says, look, you've been saved, you received this amazing grace. Now live a holy life devoted to God. Live in the fear of God. Now Peter, as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he recognizes that having said those things, there would be some believers who would yet lack motivation for why they should live such a life. Maybe they just didn't feel it. Maybe they just didn't see it, so they think, why should I live this way? Why should I live a holy life? Why should I live in the fear of God? And then there would be others, perhaps, in the audience that would say, you know what? That's exactly what I want. I want to live a holy life that pleases God. I want to live in the fear of God, but I just don't see how I can do it. I don't see how I can have the power or the strength to be able to live that kind of life. And so Peter, what he says now in our text and following really gives the answer to those thoughts. In response to these thoughts, Peter cites a very important aspect of our salvation in Jesus Christ. That is our redemption. The fact that we as Christians have been redeemed. We've sung a lot about that this morning. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be redeemed? Okay, to redeem means to release or to set free by paying a ransom. It means to deliver by the payment of a price. That's what God did for us in salvation. He redeemed us. He set us free by paying a price. But as you look at verse 18, Peter begins with the word for as much. For as much. And beginning with the word for as much, which we could say it this way, in as much. Or if you want to really simplify it, because. So in the preceding verse, he said, live a holy life, live in the fear of God. And then he's going to say, for as much or in as much or because. And what follows is that Peter will show us how our being redeemed provides both the motivation as well as the power to live a holy life in the fear of God. You want to know why you should live this way? Here's why. For as much as you've been redeemed. You want to know how you can do this and where you'll get the power? For as much or because you've been redeemed. And so this morning for our message, we're going to explore that topic. Redeemed. Redeemed. And we're going to see from our text how being redeemed is the basis. It is the foundation for our living a spiritually abundant life in the fear of God. This is what provides all that is necessary and all the motivation that's needed to live in a way that pleases God. So let's note from our text several thoughts regarding this thought of being redeemed. We'll note first of all the cost. The cost. Secondly, the conversation. And thirdly, the confidence in our redemption. So let's go back to verse 18 and consider this, the cost, or you could say the price of our redemption. Verse 17, he says, look, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Be holy, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So one reason why we should live a holy life set apart from sin unto God and live in the fear of God or live in reverence before God is the high cost or the high price of our redemption. As Peter explains there, whereas silver and gold might be sufficient to pay the price to free us from earthly slavery, we might be able to pay off someone's earthly master and set that person free. Peter explains here that silver and gold can in no wise redeem us from sin's power and its penalty. Scripture makes this so clear. No silver or gold, no religious devotion, no sacrificial giving in church, no service, no traditions can save us or redeem us from sin. Psalm 49:6 says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, that he should still live forever and not see corruption, for the redemption of their soul is precious. In other words, the cost is much too high for your redemption, for you to be saved or redeemed by silver and gold. It'll never do it. Proverbs 11:4 says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Riches can't save us. It's righteousness that delivers. It's righteousness that redeems. And we have none of our own. Again, Zephaniah 1:18, we considered this last Wednesday in our Wednesday evening service. It says, "There neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath." So silver and gold cannot redeem us. So Peter says, look, you ought to live this way. You ought to live in the fear of God because you recognize the cost or the price of your redemption. And understand, first of all, that it wasn't silver and gold. Silver and gold could not do it. And however you want to define that silver and gold, that could be giving, sacrificial giving, religious service. Money can't do it. But he explains in verse 19, but we know that we have been redeemed with the precious or the priceless blood of Christ. We know that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just as that Passover lamb was slain and its blood spread upon the doorpost and lintel of the houses to redeem the Hebrews out of slavery in Egypt, so Jesus Christ shed His precious, His priceless, His valuable blood to set us free from slavery to sin. You see, we are sinners. Our self-righteousnesses are like filthy rags, and we can no more change our sinful nature than a leopard can change its spots. But God provided the price for our redemption. He paid a price that we could not pay. Not all our silver and gold could do it, but the blood of Jesus Christ sets us free. He redeems us. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul said, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." He's that Passover lamb that shed His blood to set us free. Again, Romans 3 tells us that we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. To the Ephesians, Paul said, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." And you come all the way to the last book of the Bible, Revelation 5 and verse 9, and you find a group of people singing. It says they sing a new song, and here it is, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." I wonder this morning, can you sing that song? Can you join in that song and can you say, "I'm redeemed"? Have you been redeemed by the blood of Christ? Have you received Him as your Lord and Savior? Now, recognize this, that Jesus' blood in and of itself is priceless. It is valuable. But understand this, in order for that blood to be given, there was a great price that was paid. There was a great price that was paid in suffering. Okay, Jesus' blood did not come by His going to, you know, a doctor's office, having a small prick, a needle placed in His arm, and then, you know, this blood drawn out of Him. Okay, how did the blood of Jesus Christ, how was it given? Well, it came through His being beaten. It came through His having a crown of thorns driven into His skull. It came through His being nailed to a rugged cross. It came through having His side pierced through with a sword. That's the price that was paid for our redemption. It was the blood of Christ that came at the highest price of suffering. And understanding this high cost, this high price of our redemption, then helps us to see the basis for why we should live a holy life of obedience in the fear of God. Listen, a cheap, corruptible redemption might merit cheap, corrupt living. But the high price of our pardon in God's own precious Son demands that we live a holy life on the highway of holiness. Live this way. Live a holy life. Live in the fear of God. For as much as you know, you weren't redeemed with silver and gold, as if that were something important, but by the precious blood of Christ. And as we remember what it costs to redeem us from sin, it ought to help keep us from living in sin. Do you realize that every time we sin and live a life of disrespect toward God, it is as if we are saying, "Jesus Christ, I don't care that You shed Your blood for me. I don't care what suffering You went through for me. I will live my life how I want to live it." And Peter says, you need to remember the price that was paid for your redemption. You're redeemed. And this is why we should live for God. We ought to live in the fear of the One who has provided forgiveness for us. Redemption should result in reverence. Psalm 130 says this, "There is forgiveness with Thee that thou mayest be feared." Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Why? Because He's forgiven you. And He did it only through the price of His Son. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this, "Purge out therefore the old leaven," verses 7 and 8, "that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." You have the feast of Passover. Okay, that's when the Jews ate the Passover lamb. That would commemorate the fact that they were redeemed out of slavery in Egypt. Immediately following the Feast of Passover was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And for a period of 7 days following their Feast of Passover, they would eat nothing that had any leaven in it. In Scripture, leaven is a picture of the spreading influence of sin. So they would be redeemed, and then they would live without eating leaven. And now Paul says, look, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrifice for us, and now it's time for us to keep the feast. Now we're to live our lives free from the leaven of sin. You've been redeemed, so keep the feast of unleavened bread. Live a life of purity that pleases God. Jesus came to save you from sin. How can you live any longer in sin? Again, Jesus, our Redeemer, is as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And if He is our Redeemer, our lives ought to reflect the character of the one who redeemed us. James said, pure religion before God is to keep oneself unspotted from the world. If we had been redeemed by a spotted lamb, by a defiled, corrupt lamb, we might be able to just go on living how we want. But our lives ought to reflect the one who redeemed us. So when we think about this idea of redeemed, first of all, remember the cost or the price. Secondly, consider the conversation or the purpose in redemption. Please look with me again at verse 18. Peter says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." If you study the grammar of this verse, here's what you find. The action is that we've been redeemed. The thing from which we have been redeemed is the vain conversation of our fathers. I have read this verse. I've known the Lord now since I was 15 years old. I've been reading through the Scriptures continually since that time. And this week, as in studying this text, it suddenly dawned on me what verse 18 is actually saying. Now listen, we understand this, that the main purpose of our redemption is to free us from sin. But that is not the emphasis that Peter makes here. He's not talking about us being redeemed from sin. He's saying this literally, "For as much as you know that you were redeemed from that vain conversation that you received by tradition from your fathers." You've been saved from that old conversation. This is the purpose of your redemption, to save you from that old conversation, that old lifestyle. You see, through Christ's precious blood, we have been redeemed from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers. Please stay with me here, because this is so helpful, I think, if we understand it. As these words applied to the largely Jewish audience to whom Peter was writing, these words were a reminder of how the Lord Jesus Christ had redeemed them. He had set them free from the lifeless traditions of Judaism and its rejection of God's Son, that religion that had been handed down to them from their forefathers. And Peter saying, look, you know that you were saved from that lifeless religion, that vain, that empty conversation that was given to you from your forefathers. He saved you from that. Well, most of us here this morning, I would dare say perhaps even all of us here this morning, we're not Jews, we're Gentiles. And yet what Peter says to this largely Jewish audience definitely applies to us, because Jesus Christ came to set us free from the vain conversation that we received by tradition from our fathers. And our vain conversation may not have been lifeless religion, but the blood of Jesus Christ came to set us free from that vain conversation, that is the empty lifestyle, the aimless, purposeless existence, the destructive habits, the vain behavior, even as family traditions in which we may have been brought up. Unfortunately, many worthless and even wicked things have been passed down to us. We have received them from our fathers, going all the way back to our good old father Adam, who handed down to every one of us a sin nature. That's what we've received. One country and western singer put it this way. He said, "They get on me and want to know, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the songs that you wrote? Over and over, everybody makes my prediction. So if I get stoned, I'm just carrying on an old family tradition. So don't ask me, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the songs that you wrote? Stop and think it over. Try to put yourself in my unique position. If I get stoned and sing all night long, it's a family tradition. That's what was handed down to him from his forefathers. Many of us here today could say, you know what? I've been handed down some bad things from my forefathers. But Jesus Christ came to redeem us. He did it with a great cost, at a high price, and He came to set us free from that vain conversation, that empty, purposeless life. Vain conversation could be defined here by, again, lifeless religion. It could refer to some destructive habits that we basically got passed down to us from our father, and he maybe got it from his father and on back all the way to Adam. But vain conversation really is an accurate description of every life lived apart from knowing God. You say, well, my dad didn't hand these things that you're describing down to me. Every life lived apart from Jesus Christ, apart from redemption, is a vain life. Psalm 39, verses 4 through 6, it says, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah, think about it. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Ecclesiastes 2:11, Solomon said, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity, vexation of spirit. Life was just an empty, purposeless existence. It was just a vain conversation. He says, there is no profit under the sun. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. The good news then, the good news of redemption, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ is this, that yes, He sets us free from sin, but He also sets us free from a purposeless, wasted life. He sets us free from a vain conversation. He gives us a purpose in life. He gives us something that runs far, far deeper than vain living, empty traditions, bad habits, and cheap worldly values. In short, Jesus Christ saves our souls, and He saves us from a wasted life. When the Lord saved those Hebrews out of Egypt, He saved them out of slavery in Egypt from that vain conversation, you might say, that drudgery of an existence. He set them free that they might live for Him and live a life of holiness, pleasing to God, a life with real purpose and meaning behind it. And in the same way, we have been redeemed out of slavery to this world's way of thinking and living to live a life of holiness. The good news is that we don't have to live under the power of destructive and enslaving family traditions such as drunkenness, tobacco, illegal drugs, immorality, materialism, or lifeless religion. But we can live free and clear in an abundant Christian life. This is what Jesus Christ came to give us. It means this, if we're not living a holy life, if we're not living in the fear of God, listen, don't blame your dad. And don't blame his dad and his... No. If you know Jesus Christ, He has redeemed you. He has set you free from that vain conversation. And Jesus Christ is more powerful. The blood of Christ is more powerful than alcohol or fentanyl, or all the other drugs and things that have been passed down and are destroying lives. He came to set us free. This is the answer to those in the congregation who said, well, you know, Peter, I'd love to live a holy life. Man, I'd love to live in the fear of God. I'd love to be set free. And Peter says, would you be free from your passion and pride? Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's power in the blood. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's power, wonder-working power in the blood. You've been redeemed. Here's how you can do it. Not in your strength. You'll never be set free from that vain conversation that you receive by tradition, passing down, handed down from your fathers in your own strength. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can. Because you're redeemed. For as much as ye know that you've been redeemed. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I came to save them from that empty, worthless, purposeless life that was destroying them and taking their souls to hell. And I came to give them a life of meaning and purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul brings out a different nuance of our redemption. He says, look, you've been bought with a price. When we were redeemed, Jesus paid the price to set us free, but He purchased us unto Himself. We became His possession. And now He says, hey, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And now glorify God in your body and your spirit. Someone said this, Jesus paid it all. Did He get all that He paid for? Say, I'm redeemed, preacher. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. You know, heaven bound with the hammer down. Great. Does your life show the difference? Have you been set free from a vain conversation? Now, there is a positive application that we ought to make here. In this situation, Peter's describing how we have been redeemed from a vain conversation that was received by tradition. The word tradition literally means to pass down or to hand down. And from one generation to the next, it just gets handed down. Again, we go all the way back to Adam and find out where a lot of our traditions and conversation has its root. But there's a positive application to be made here. We need to be reminded that good, godly, biblical traditions should be handed down from their fathers to their children. As fathers, we who are in that position, we need to be careful that we do not hand down to our children a vain conversation. Wouldn't that be a terrible testimony? What did your dad give you? Well, he handed down to me the vain conversation that he got from his daddy and he got from his daddy. That's not what we want. We do not want to hand down to our children a vain conversation. We must not, by our examples or our teaching, influence our children to live empty, wasted lives on the things of this world that are quickly passing away. Instead, we should pass down to our children the truth of God and a life of faithfulness and integrity. And praise the Lord that redemption through Christ's blood gives us power to start new and better family traditions. Praise the Lord for that. Thankful for my dad and mom. Neither one of them came from godly Christian homes. In fact, they were handed down a lot of junk, and their parents had been handed down a lot of junk. But my mom and dad came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to a place of full surrender where they said, the Lord, you can have it all. And they basically covenanted together, my mom and dad did. And they said, you know what, we are going to make a generational change in our family. And our family line is going to look different from this point forward. And you go back, you look beyond my parents, back to their forefathers, you find some good there, but mostly it's not that. But it's changed. Why? Because there's power in the blood. Because we've been redeemed. And He gave us the highest price. The cost was the blood. The conversation, well, that's the object from which He saved us. He saved us out of that. And now you and I have the opportunity to establish new traditions with our families, to pass down to them not a vain conversation, but an abundant spiritual life of godliness and faithfulness. But it starts with us, by the way. It starts with us. Psalm 78, verses 5 through 8. says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." And we ought to honor our fathers and mothers regardless of what their spiritual condition or character was. But we also need to have this wisdom that not everything perhaps that our parents or grandparents or whatever handed down to us was good or right. And we need to have the spiritual integrity and the courage to say, you know what, we're going to do things differently. Jesus Christ came to set us free from that vain conversation, and we're going to do things differently from now on. The conversation. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Live in the fear of God. Be holy as He is holy. He says, back up in verse 15, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy," and please look at what are those next words, "in all manner of," what's the word? Conversation. You live holy in all manner of conversation because by the blood of Jesus Christ you were set free from that vain conversation. This is why you ought to live differently. And this is how you can. And the blood of Jesus Christ, again, is more powerful than any family tradition or any conversation that's been handed down to you. And if we don't live for Jesus Christ, we have no one to blame but ourselves. And you have the spiritual manhood, the spiritual backbone to stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to quit blaming what was handed down to me. I'm going to claim the blood of Jesus Christ, and from now on I'm going to live for Him. And you have that power to do it through Christ. Lastly, this morning, there's the confidence or the proof. Verse 20. It says, "Of Christ, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." The first and most obvious truth presented in our overall context that we've read this morning is this, that we can know that we are redeemed. That really is where he begins. "For as much as ye know." Our redemption is something that we know. We are absolutely confident of it. We know that we've been redeemed through the precious blood of Christ. It is a matter of certainty. John told us this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. This life is in His Son, and he that has the Son has life. We that have believed on the name of the Son of God may know that we have eternal life. So already he has asserted in this text, we know that we've been redeemed. But in verses 20 and 21, Peter further shows why we can have this confidence of our redemption in Christ. This is how we can know. We know that we've been redeemed through the blood of Christ because of what he says there in verses 20 and 21. As he explains in those verses, from before the foundation of the world, God planned for our redemption through the death of His Son. Do you realize that our redemption was not an afterthought with God? We were redeemed through Christ, who was foreordained from before the foundation of the world to provide that redemption. May I say this, that God's foreknowledge and His foreordination and His predestination, whatever words you want to use to describe this work of God, not only applies to the overall scheme of salvation, but it applies to every person that falls under that. What I'm saying is that in your personal life, your salvation was planned before the foundation of the world. And that's what gives us certainty about it. Because it wasn't just an afterthought. It wasn't like God created man. Oops, I messed up. Man failed. Fumble around. Now I've got to figure out what to do to save man. Oh, no. He had it planned all along. And that's what gives us confidence to know that God has something good for us, that He set His love upon me when I was undeserving and unworthy. And He purposed to set me free from that old life, to save my soul, to change my life. This is our confidence. Our confidence is seen in the fact that this was part of God's plan from the very beginning. And it's God's plan for you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ, as we heard in Sunday school this morning, gave Himself a ransom, the redeeming price, a ransom for all, to be testified to all. We ought to pray for all men and we ought to preach to all men, because Jesus Christ died for all men and God's willing to save all men. This is the confidence that we have. Wow, we can get a hold of this. Furthermore, as he goes on to explain, we are redeemed. God's foreordination, His plan from the foundation of the world, becomes effective in our lives when we believe on His Son, who by Him do believe in God. We are redeemed through the blood of Christ as we believe in God through His Son Jesus, who is the one mediator between God and man. And as he explains in verse 21, our faith in God through His Son is substantiated. It is founded upon a bedrock truth, and this is it, the resurrection. The resurrection. Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Jesus' resurrection is the proof of our redemption. It is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have confidence regarding our redemption through Jesus Christ. How do we really know that He redeemed us? How do we really know that God said, yes, that shed blood, I accept it as the full payment for their sin. I accept it as the full payment to release them from all the guilt of their past, to release them from the power of all the sin of their past and all the junk that's been handed down to them from their father Adam and beyond. How do we know He accepted it? Because when His Son had shed His blood, God the Father raised Him from the dead. The price was paid. And the resurrection is our confidence. It is the proof of our redemption. Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24 says this, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. If Jesus Christ had gone to that cross and died and been placed in a grave and His body saw corruption and He just rotted and went away, we might sit back and say, you know what? I don't know if that was sufficient to redeem us or not. I don't really know if there's power in the blood. I really don't know if I can live a different life, that I can really be saved now from a wasted life and be saved from hell forever. But the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that's the answer. That is the key. That's our foundation. He is declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. Now, Jesus Christ already declared Himself to be the Son of God, but when He rose from the dead, He was declared to be the Son of God who has all power. Not just declared to be the Son of God. We already knew that. But when He rose from the dead, He's declared to be the Son of God with power. The dunamis, the dynamite, all authority and all ability. And this is how we can know that we're redeemed and all that goes along with it. Knowing, for as much as ye know, in as much as ye know, because we know that we have been redeemed from the vain conversation passed down from our fathers. Knowing that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ who was sent down from the Father. Let's be holy. We can be holy. We can live in holiness in all manner of conversation. We can live free if we desire. Lord, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to set us free. Thank you that He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We don't have to be held by the guilt of the past. No person can lay anything to our charge. No devil in hell can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. We're thankful to be set free. We're thankful, Lord, that we don't have to live under the power and binding control of habits and traditions and ways of thinking and patterns of living that have been handed down to us from prior generations. We can be made new creatures in Jesus Christ. We can be holy. We can be holy even as you are holy in our living and all manner of conversation. We can live in the fear of God, a great reverence towards you, Lord, for your awesome work of salvation. I pray, Lord, that you by your Spirit would impress the truth of your word upon every soul here today. Open our eyes, Lord, to behold these things, to be set free from by the truth, Lord. Thank you that he whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And I pray that today there would be Christians that would lay hold on the freedom that they have in Jesus Christ. And we'd truly know the redeeming power of the blood. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, may I ask you this question. Can you truly say, I know that I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Has there come a point in your life where you saw that you were a lost sinner, that you had no righteousness of your own, you had no silver or gold to offer God, you merely came and cast yourself upon His mercy, and you've received the forgiveness of God through His Son, Jesus Christ? Are you redeemed? Is there anyone here today that would say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart, and today I realize I've never been redeemed. I've never truly been set free and redeemed by the blood of Christ, but today I want that. Listen, the good news is that God wants that for you more than you want it for yourself. He's provided it because He wants to save you. Is there anyone here today that would say, Preacher, I want to receive Christ? Would you right now in the quietness of your heart before God, would you just open your heart, just surrender to Him? Tell Him you're a sinner. Tell Him you can't save yourself and trust Jesus Christ to save you and set you free. Who today would say, Preacher, that's the decision I'm making. Right here, right now, as best as I know how before God, I'm saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I trust Jesus Christ to save me, to set me free from my sin, to live for Him. Today I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's your decision, would you acknowledge that by raising your hand straight up into the air? You'd say, today I'm trusting Jesus Christ to save me. All right, Christian. How is your living reflecting upon your appreciation for Christ's high price for your redemption? If we really grasp the high price that Jesus paid to set us free from sin, we won't live in sin. Are you living free from the sin, the vain conversation, the wasted living from which Jesus Christ shed His blood to set you free? Are you living holy in all manner of conversation? This is not just for certain people. This is for everyone that's redeemed by the blood of Christ. This is for you. Are you living that way? Jesus came to set you free. You have as much power in the blood as any other Christian. Are you living in it? Are you living in the fear of God? Are you as a Christian seeking to pass on to others an influence of obedience, godliness, faithfulness, integrity? What are you passing down and passing around to other Christians? Are you helping to lift others up to a life of godliness? Pulling them down toward the world, what kind of influence do you have? How many today would say, Preacher, God's spoken to my heart. And I realized this morning that Jesus Christ came to set me free from sin and from a vain conversation. And I'm going to claim the freedom that He's provided, and by His grace, I'm going to live a holy life. And I'm going to live a godly life in all manner of conversation. I want to live to please Him. That's your decision this morning. As you quietly raise your hand, you'd say, yes, that's my decision today. Amen. God bless you. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts. And I pray you'd give us the desire of our heart, Lord, that is to live for you. We're thankful that the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful. Lord, there's power in that blood to set us free from any kind of habits and sinful things that we've received or that we've created and developed in our own lives. I pray you'd help us to live for you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.